See the edge right there?
Yes, I see that the brown part of the peel is connected with the red, but that's only after you have practice, because it doesn't come out like that when I do it.
Because I've been trying for 30 years, Jeannie, and you never pay attention. But my daughter will. Right, mommy?
Juca. Those were my parents teaching me how to cook this commonly eaten root in the Caribbean. Hey everyone, it's Vanessa de la Rosa on Curiosity, a podcast about how everything is connected to everything. Every Sunday since I was a child, my father would bring home a large, cracker-like bread made of the root juca, called cassave. I will never forget its initial crunchy texture when I would take the first bite and how soft the bread became as soon as I started chewing. Its flavor was full of this rich, starchy juca base that reminded me of its roots in the Dominican Republic, where my father grew up. Every time I would share this story with my friends, however, I was surprised that only a few of them really knew about juca, mainly those who weren't American. I wonder, why is there such a large divide between those who know about cassava and those who don't? Today, I invite you all to explore with me how juca has expanded and established roots across different parts of the world. Let's start with the basics. Cassava or juca is considered a staple root. They have the ability to reproduce and grow on any type of land, endure shifts in climate, and are very versatile when cooking. But before we dive in, let's understand what globalization is and the relevance of the use of terms like the global north and the global south. Globalization is the development and spread of information systems across distance and time. Although it is often described as a current phenomenon, this interconnectedness, which has allowed for global commodities like cassava, has always existed. Wallerstein's world systems theory highlights the struggle of geopolitical power and access between the global north and the global south. Cassava originates from South America in the central Brazilian savanna. This staple root has been around for so long that by the time the Europeans arrived to South America, indigenous peoples had already mastered its cultivation and uses across the continent. It was then shared with the rest of the world during the colonization of South America by the Europeans. It was valued throughout Africa and Asia as a crop that provided stable and secure nutrition during extreme shifts in climate. They are considered all-in-one roots, containing nutrients such as carbohydrates, fiber, and magnesium. Juca's presence in the Caribbean has not only played a role in local consumption, but also during the slave trade, consequently spreading to Africa. Despite the transfer of juca as a good, its journey across the Atlantic represented a transfer of security and values. Cassava is relatively easy to cultivate and grow, which allows farmers, with a small number of laborers, to produce large quantities of it. Within a month, for example, a single laborer in Brazil could prepare and plant 10,000 cassava heads. Cultivating cassava is an investment in their own subsistence as it provides a steady income and avoids seasonal dormancy. During the Atlantic slave trade, cassava was known as the staff of life. It was a part of the daily rations en route between West Africa and the Caribbean, as deteriorated cassava meal with few vegetables and dried meat. Although the slave trade introduced cassava to Africa, it is rooted in a deeper connection between these continents. Food like kongotai, a thick meal made from juca, have a double meaning. While it is known in Togo as a children's game, in the Caribbean, kongotai is considered a staple meal representative of the resistance to slavery. Cassava is also used to make different foods, like cassava cakes, sweet cassava pone, and my favorite, cassave. It is also an effective preservative for food in hot and humid conditions. These impressive attributes show that cassava is a globalized staple root for its nutrition and ability to withstand environmental shifts. Although its usefulness is well known across the global south, why is cassava not as globalized in the global north? Well, Henry and Hershey on cassava in South America and the Caribbean attempt to answer this question by saying that
the investment in cassava has not been adequate to keep it competitive in the agricultural and commercial worlds. As a crop predominantly grown and utilized by the poor, it has generally been relegated to a lower status by both public and private research itself.
Cassava's status within public discourse influences its perception as a poor man's food, diminishing its opportunities to contribute to climate change initiatives globally. Who would have thought that a staple root could have such an expansive history and influential role in society? The globalization of cassava, while limited to the global south, has connected cultures across seas. Its role within food security should also be more pertinent than it currently is. I'm curious to see what role cassava will play within the global food security crises in the near future. Thanks for journeying with me through the history and significance of cassava. I encourage you all to try yuca. Who knows, it may become your favorite root too. Special thanks to my parents, Jeanette Toro and Fausto de la Rosa, and my friends, Max McFarlane, Ben Gordon, Ayat Husseini, and Said Malami for helping me out with this podcast content, sound, and tech. To learn more about the globalization of cassava, check out these books that were used to create this podcast content, titled Congotai Congotai, A Global History of Caribbean Food by Candice Goucher, A Bahian Counterpoint by BJ Berrickman, Eating Puerto Rico by Cruz Miguel Ortiz Cuadra, and Cassava, Biology, Production, and Utilization, edited by RJ Hillocks, JM Thresh, and AC Bellati. Thanks for listening. See you soon!